The Art Spot with Art Minius on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome to the Art Spot on WCHL and chapelborough.com. It's my great pleasure today to have with us Nick Berry, one of the two founders of the Carrboro Film Festival, which is happening this weekend, today and tomorrow at the Art Center and more largely at the Century Center, a couple of blocks to the west. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, well, tell a little bit of the folks sort of an overview of what they can experience today and tomorrow at the Carrboro Film Festival.
Well, the Carrboro Film Festival is in its eighth year, and we are very excited that this is the first year we've actually gone to 2 days. So the festival is today, Saturday, the November 23rd, and tomorrow, November 24th, and we will have a total of 73 short and feature-length films.
That's amazing. Now, as I understand it, you and Jackie Helvey cooked up the film festival when you were on the Carrboro Arts Committee, on which I now serve.
Is that right? Well, congratulations. Yeah. Great committee. And actually, Jackie's idea was to have a film festival, and she called me up and said, we want to show films in Carrboro. Do you want to be in charge or something like that? And I said, well, you know, as a filmmaker, I would love to see more exposure for regional films and filmmaking. And so we talked a little bit about it. In fact, John Wilner, the former executive director of the Art Center, was on the original committee. And we did do something the very first year at the Art Center. But we, since 2006, we've had a festival that's been a one-day affair every Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And this year we said, let's kick it up several notches and go with some feature films and go with two locations and go with 2 days. And the town of Carrboro, who is our main sponsor, along with the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitor Center, is also our sponsor. And the Orange County Arts Commission, I must say, also all very helpful to us to make sure we can put this on, said, yes, let's do it. And they threw a little more money in there, and we were able to put on a two-day festival that you're experiencing right now.
That's fabulous, and we're certainly excited for the Art Center to be one of the Saturday locations for the two-day Carrboro Film Festival. How do films get selected? 73 is a lot of films to curate.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, we got hundreds of submissions from all over the world and from right around the corner. And so the way they're selected is the Carrboro Film Festival Committee takes the submissions and we watch them, we rate them on our own, and then we get together a couple of times and basically talk about the films and talk about the direction of where we would like the festival to go. We want to make sure that the audience gets a wide variety of stories. So we can't have, for example, our desire is to not have 10 or 15 films that focus on one subject. So we may get great films that focus on, I don't know, let's just say fly fishing. We can't show 15 films about fly fishing. So we pick the best ones that we think will fit the feel and the vibe and what our audience at the festival that comes to our festival year after year has come to expect. So a short answer for that question is, you know, how is the selection done? It's very, very difficult. We have a limited time, even though we're showing 73 films, we have a very limited time over 2 days, two venues on Saturday, only one venue on Sunday to show films. And so honestly, me and the rest of the committee feel that we had 30 to 40 hours worth of films that were festival worthy that we were unable to show this year. And it just kills us inside. But it also makes us feel great to know that there are so many truly independent filmmakers that are putting their creativity and their own money investment into these films so they can have a sense of expression. Just like a guitarist writes a song for himself, some of these films are made for themselves and not a lot of people will see them. And the Carrboro Film Festival's goal is to shine as bright a light as possible on these truly independent films and the filmmakers.
I can certainly appreciate what outstanding work that is, Nick, because when I was at Apple Shop, I know the struggles of putting several years into making a film and then having such a limited number of places where people could actually see it other than sitting at home on the little screen with the DVD.
That's right. Well, you know, my belief is that the internet has been wonderful. You can get your your films out there, people that may not be able to get to your festival, that's great. But there truly is nothing like the experience of being in a room with 100, 200, even 300 or 400 people that we've had in our festival, in the theater at the same time, enjoying a film that is carrying you away, taking you to another place, and the audience does not know the filmmaker, they don't know the actors, and they are transported. And it just is the power of being in a group to see something wonderful. There's not an experience like it. So.
Exactly. And that's why live music is still strong despite the existence of recordings, while live theater still takes place all over the triangle, even though one could sit there and read the scripts and imagine it in their head. There's just no amount of social media that makes up for that experience of being in the room together.
You're absolutely right. I have always been a big believer that the audience is the third component to make a film. You know, you got the filmmaker, you got the crew and all of them, you've got the final product, but it just sits there. It does not come to life until you add the audience and the audience response.
Yeah.
Somebody emailed me last year and they kept pushing me to, oh, where can I see these films? I don't feel like sitting inside all day. Where can I see them online? And I'm like, you're missing the point. Okay, you know what? You can buy Beatles albums and listen to them at home and they're awesome. But would you like to see the Beatles live? That's kind of what the experience of a film festival is. Completely different thing. Go see it live. Even though it's filmed, seeing it live with a group of other people, you can have a common experience. We have Q&As with the filmmakers in attendance after every single film block, and they get to ask them questions like, you know, what'd you come up? How'd you come up with this idea? How did you get that incredible shot looking down at the ocean? You know, whatever it may be, how'd you do that animation? And so you learn more about the story, you get a more fulfilling experience, and you walk away knowing how special you are to have seen a film that only a handful of people have ever seen.
And that is truly magical, and I think that's what makes film festivals special. In these last 30 seconds of this segment, what makes the Carver a film festival special? How's it different from River Run or from Calculuras or Ann Arbor?
Well, there's a million great festivals out there, and they all have great things to do and to show. Our festival is a community-run festival. It's a festival that people come together once a year, and they congregate in Carrboro, this small town in North Carolina, and we're there for one reason, and that is to enjoy, appreciate, and praise great films.
That's a beautiful thing, and we'll be back with Nick Berry of the Carrboro Film Festival right after this. Welcome back to the Art Spot. We're visiting today with Nick Berry of the Carrboro Film Festival, happening today, November 23rd, and Sunday, November 24th. The Saturday is at the Century Center and the Art Center in downtown Carrboro. Sunday's screenings and workshops are all at the Century Center, right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. We've been talking a lot about festivals and the meaning of films and why it's important to go watch films with your community members. Let's talk some about the actual films. We got 73 lined up. I don't think we can talk about all 73. I've marked up some that were of interest to me. What stand out as the highlights to you, Nick?
Well, you know, I'm probably going to sound like a broken record at the end of this segment because I truly feel that every film we're showing is amazing. They each have their own angles and thrust, you know, from animations to music videos to feature films to comedies to dramas to documentaries. And the really cool thing about our festival, it's kind of like a roller coaster. Every block we're going to have that we're having at the festival this weekend, 11 blocks of films, every block has at least three films, a couple of shorts and then a feature and then maybe a bunch of shorts. And then, of course, at the end of each block, there'll be a Q&A with the filmmakers in attendance. Some of the films that I love, I'll just, you know, and I hate to say anything in particular because I don't want to give the slight to some of the other films, but I will just give you what I think off the top of my head. Cracker Jack is a film made by Jeff Foxworthy. You may know him. Mm-hmm. He's got the comedy line, "You may be a redneck if." It's kind of a My Name is Earl type feature film. It's a great film that has a lot of fun with organized men's softball, organized religion, and it's really a good-hearted, good-natured comedy that I highly recommend.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I marked up, Nick, and that's at the Art Center at 12:45 Saturday.
Right. It's a great film. Get out there. Drive over there right now and go see that film. Another one that's awesome, and you're going to have to help me with the name of it, I think it's called Sacanagua. And it's a Native American name, and it's going to be Saturday night at the Century Center. It's a film that's based on a true story. It's a feature film, and this film is beautiful. It stars non-actors, which means people that are not professional actors, but you would never, ever know it. It's so naturalistic. But it's the story of a crematorium where the owner of it does not tell the funeral home that it services that the crematorium, the actual incinerator, is broken. So he takes the bodies and he puts them in the woods. Mm-hmm. And this is a true story.
Yeah, I remember hearing this on the news driving south on I-95. Right. I forget why, but I was entering Georgia and this story breaks on the news.
Well, John Henry Summer, who produced and directed this film, did a great job. It actually is told basically from the perspective of the son of the owner of the funeral home. And there's a little romantic interest in there. This is a high school kid, and he discovers these bodies in the woods, and he doesn't know what he's seeing. And then it comes to light that actually this guy needs to make ends meet, so he doesn't tell anybody that his incinerator is not working any longer. It's a great, great story. So there are two films right there. There are so many others. I can't I'll be remiss if I don't mention Mike Wiley's film Dar-He, mm-hmm. The Lynching of Emmett Till, which has gotten so much great attention, deservedly so. It's won many awards, been in many festivals, but it still hasn't been seen by enough people. And it's also, I believe, at the Arts Center on Saturday. And come see Dar-He. That is a great story. Emmett Till, as you may or may not know, was an African-American man, and he was lynched in the South. And it's a terrible story. Mike Wiley has done this as a play, and now they've made a feature film out of it. And he plays over 30 roles in this film. And it's a powerful story. There's a couple short films prior to that that also deal with civil rights issues, mm-hmm. casual racism. And I highly recommend coming to see that film.
Yeah, Dar-He is actually at the Century Center Saturday afternoon at 1:30. We have done the play at the Arts Center, so I guess it's only fair to share.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for correcting me.
Mike is a great actor.
Unbelievable.
Brilliant man.
Unbelievable. We were fortunate. He's someone that will do anything for anyone. He's a great talent. Last year, we asked him to be Sherlock Holmes for a little short film we did to introduce the festival. He happily came out and did it, and it was wonderful. And, you know, we're fortunate to have him in our community.
Absolutely. Another film that has a lot of local notoriety that'll be in the festival that I know there are more people out there wanting to see is Foodie.
Oh, yes, Foodie. Yes, Christopher Moore and Eric Pruitt and Ishmael Abdakalik made this film. I don't think I'm giving a whole lot away except to say it is a black horror film comedy. It's where they have a dinner, very exclusive, and they invite somebody for dinner. And I'll just leave that
yes,
where it is. They invite him for dinner.
And he's been trying to get that invitation for years.
Yes, and he finally does. And we'll see what happens if you come see the film. That's a 29-minute short film, which is really cool because last year we could not accept that film because we only took short films 20 minutes or less. With the expansion of accepting films of any length this year, we're able to show films that have fallen through the cracks just because of our rule of length. Because we only had one day. It was only a one-day festival.
It's great because I think you have some that are getting close to 2 hours. Seven Lives a Chance is 110 minutes.
It's 110 minutes, and it's a great film. If you like Woody Allen, you are going to love Seven Lives a Chance. It's actually the first in the first block, so it's probably happening right now.
Yeah, it should be about midway through right now. The first airing of this weekend's Art Spot on WCHL. Another that caught my eye, and because of the alphabetical listing, and it starts with the numbers at the very top of the list, is 45 RPM.
Well, you're a music fan. I'm a music fan. 45 RPM obviously is meaning a 45 RPM record, the old 7-inch singles that they used to have. It's a great story. Again, Julie Jackson, a very independent filmmaker, submitted this film. It's a feature film. It's about a 20-something artist who goes on a search to find the record that her father made, or did he? That's the big question. And it's I would call it somewhat of a romantic comedy. It's a great film. I saw it at the Knoxville Film Festival. And they were nice enough to submit it to us as well. I want to let everybody know that the festival is very, very affordable. It's $15 for the two-day pass, the festival pass. That's for all 11 blocks of films. And it's only 10 bucks for Saturday for the whole day, or 10 bucks for Sunday the whole day. So a day pass or a festival pass, nothing's going to cost you more than 15 bucks. And if you think about it, the new movie theater that they're going to put in at the University Mall, which we're all excited about, the average ticket is $16 for one film.
Yeah.
So we're 15 bucks for 73 films.
You can't beat that price anywhere. And to get more information, you can go to CarboroughFilmFestival.com. And we'll be right back with Nick Berry after this. We're back on the Art Spot with Nick Berry of the Carborough Film Festival. And again, for more info, you can go to CarboroughFilmFestival.com. The festival's happening today, Saturday, November 23rd, Sunday, November 24th, in beautiful downtown Carborough. A film, a recent documentary that I think will have meaning for a lot of people in the community is It's Monday and the South is Rising.
Yeah, Moral Monday film. That is a great film. Reverend Barber is in it. All the people that went down to those Moral Monday marches and rallies. And, you know, I guess the jury is still out what's happening with North Carolina's legislature right now and governor. So this is a very important topical story that we're proud to share, and hopefully it will spark a very strong continued discussion.
Yeah, another North Carolina documentary perhaps of little less weighty nature is The Possum Drop.
Oh, I love The Possum Drop. Mindy Keeley is a former or graduate of Wake Forest University, and this was, I believe, her thesis film. And this film is so amazing because she started out siding with PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and she went out to this small town in western North Carolina where every New Year's Eve, instead of dropping a ball, they would drop a possum. Now, the way I say that, it sounds like, oh my gosh, they're throwing a possum off the top of a building or a cherry picker or something. Well, that's not the case at all. It turns out that they put it in a big wooden box and they slowly lower it, and they have a drag queen contest, and it's all in good fun. And Mindy quickly realized that this was not harming the animal at all. And so she decided to make – she continued to make her documentary. But it turns out that she, in the process of making the film, changed her feelings about what she thought was happening and what she believed in. And this small town endeared her to that town and makes me want to go to that town on New Year's Eve myself.
Yeah. Another thing that caught my eye is you have a partnership with the Strange Beauty Film
Yes.
Festival to show 90 minutes of their films
Yeah.
this year.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. 10 o'clock late nights tonight, Saturday the 23rd, at the Century Center, we're going to show 90 minutes of Jim Haverkamp and his wife Joyce's films from the Strange Beauty Film Festival, which is the Durham Winter Film Fest, which is always in January or February. And these are wild, weird, truly strange, and truly beautiful films. You will never, ever see films like this. I highly recommend you come and enjoy. You know, Saturday night, late night is a great time to show these films. A lot of them were shot on film, not digital, and they may be hand-painted. They may be hand-drawn. Mm. They're from all over the world. Actually, Jim just sent me the last film of that block, 16 films, and it's from Germany. And these films are wild. So come check this out.
Fabulous. And one last film I want to mention is Simple as That, because it's set in Marfa, Texas, and I believe people from Carver especially will find a kinship with Marfa, Texas, and all that little town has done with the arts and creativity to get themselves back on the map.
Yeah, Marfa is in the middle of nowhere in Texas. I have no idea what part of Texas, but it looks desolate to me.
Beautiful. And so is the Carver Film Festival. Today, Saturday the 23rd, Sunday the 24th in beautiful downtown Carver. CarverFilmFestival.com. Thanks for being on the Art Spot, Nick.
My pleasure, Art.